Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Today we are discussing the second part of Philippians chapter 2 and the principles of living Paul shares from prison.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We know that this has nothing to do with eternal life because you can't work out eternal life.
Okay.
That's justification. That is confirmed in Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and Titus 3, 5. And so this is not working out your right to get to heaven, but this is working out the sanctifying, the growing. And sanctification we do have as a position, but we also have it as a practice.
Well, Janie, we absolutely did not get very far last week, but we are going to start in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2 this week and continue talking about the things that Paul shared with the Philippians from his prison cell, how sweetly Paul shares his heart from chains. And you know, if we think about not necessarily being shackled in prison, I think every one of us have situations and things that we go through where we feel like that we are in some sort of bonds. I shared a few weeks ago that I was diagnosed with cancer, and I've shared my fear of chemo and trying to move forward in spite of my fear with that diagnosis and protocol for cure. And so one of the things that the Lord is really showing me, I just had my first chemo treatment, and it's not been easy. I've been sick a lot, but the Lord has shown me so much through the pain and suffering that I have been going through that really I will have on the other side of this adversity. And that's something that is really important and special to me.
Well, and it's also vital and essential for your going through the challenge that you've been given. When I was thinking about the situation this morning, I thought, well, is this a fiery dart, or is this an arrow, or is this a burning missile? And I think in your case, it's probably the latter, but all the more opportunity for the Lord to show himself real. I hear you say there's a sweetness in this book, and Sharon, I hear a sweetness in the voice. Suffering is something that we would avoid at all cost and be prepared to meet our destiny totally unprepared.
Well, the great thing is we've spent much of the past few weeks or months talking about the armor of God and allowing God to show us how to put on that armor. And I think that's helped me tremendously in walking into this battle, is knowing that I've got my armor in place, my shield's up, my sword, you know, my sword's in hand, my helmet's on, and I can walk and face chemo. I can face whatever comes my way with my armor on. And there is such a peace that comes from that.
So. And that peace is not of this world. And that brings us right to verse 5, because you've just described what Paul was telling the saints at Philippi, and that is, have this mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. And you've described what is said from verse 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And that is that there has to be death before there can be life. Because what has to die is what's natural of us. And that can be our own hopes, our own aspirations, our own expectations. And they don't necessarily have to be selfish, but many times they are still self-serving, and we don't recognize it until we have a fire in our life.
Yeah.
And as Paul describes the conditions, he's just describing that the Lord gave up everything for us. He was totally other focused. And your persevering right now is definitely that others may gain from the trial that you're going through. We're working this out in real time, Sharon.
Yeah, definitely.
This is not some nice story that we told about that we can give great kudos to. We're working it out week by week as the Lord shows us what he wants. And this passage in Philippians is definitely not the entire mind of Christ, but it's what Paul believed that the church needed, because even though they were turned their hearts towards him, they still had some problems. Otherwise, Paul would not be addressing verse 3 and 4, where he said, let's don't do anything out of vain conceit or self-interest, but let's look after the interest of others. And then he explains how we do that. And that's being willing to know a death to what might be something that we believe that God ordained for our life.
And, you know, I think this also, having the mind of Christ, goes back to knowing who you are in Christ. Because if we know the mind of Christ, we know what God's mind says about us as a person. And so, and that strengthens your armor as well.
It does. And you brought up a very good point that just crossed my mind. And that is, I just recently heard that many of our churches from different denominations, but all still claiming to be a part of the body of Christ, are now saying that, that the scriptures are not in total the Word of God, but that they contain the Word of God.
Oh my, Janie. Now, that's a scary thought.
It is, because if it contains it, then I can pick out what jar I want to pick that truth out and apply it. If it's not totally sufficient and totally complete. Now, we know translations may have a variation in them. It's just like when I looked at Ephesians and I saw three words, as I said earlier, darts, arrows, and flaming missiles. But they all basically indicate the same adversity that can come to the Christian. So we don't claim that every translation does not have a flaw in it. There are many scholars who have dissected how our scriptures came to be. And so we need to believe that the inerrant Word of God, the original text, is as God sent it to us, and that He can make that real to us in whatever translation we may have to pick up. And I find in study that to have three or four different translations and to make some comparisons can give me some insights. And then if I want to go back and do a Greek word study from people much more knowledgeable than I, then those books are also available to help us in our study.
Right.
But the idea is that we are going to stand exactly where you say you're getting your strength. I don't believe you're getting your strength right now in the trial is a mind over matter. But it is a heart-brain conviction with your will choosing that you recognize who Jesus Christ is as our great shepherd, our great physician, and God the Father in the flesh.
Yeah. There's a lot of prayers going up for healing, and I appreciate that. I definitely want to be healed. But with all of the protocol that it takes to have that cure, there's a lot of pain and suffering that goes along with that part of cancer.
Well, so, and Sharon, let me butt in here and say, are the saints willing to stand in the gap? I believe that once we get through Philippians, the place where I want to go is a study in prayer.
Yeah.
Of how do we strengthen one another? I've already seen some miracles that we'll talk about at the appropriate time that has strengthened my faith in walking with you. And realizing that God had this all planned when you first came to me and said, would you like to talk on my show? And I'm thinking, well, you know, Sharon, I'm not in really good health. I probably couldn't do it. Little did we know what He had in store for us. But that takes us down then to verse 12 in Philippians 2, where He says, now work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
And we talked a little bit about that last week. Can we expand on that just a bit?
Well, not a whole lot, if we want to cover the rest of chapter 2 today, but we know that this work out your own salvation has nothing to do with eternal life, because you can't work out eternal life.
Okay.
That's justification. That is confirmed in Ephesians 2:8-9 and Titus 3:5. And so this is not working out your right to get to heaven, or as they would say, see St. Peter at the gate and he'll ask you what right you have alive to come into heaven. But this is working out the sanctifying, the growing, the very thing that you're doing today. You have been set apart, Ephesians 1:30. And sanctification we do have as a position, but we also have it as a practice and the principles of how we live and how we grow and mature for how the Lord has called us.
The things we learn that through adversity that we'll have on the other side.
That's right.
Okay.
And that we could never learn it apart from the adversity.
Yeah.
And when I get to heaven, I just want to say, I know there's no other way that it could be worked out, but my flesh needs some wasn't there a substitute? You know, so we didn't have sugar. Was stevia not acceptable?
Yep.
You know, just
right.
Could a substitute not have worked? But then we go down and in verse 15, Sharon, something just hit me here. And again, I have to say that my study this week and going back in on Philippians 2, everything I did take back to what you were going through. So this is kind of a customized alteration because I looked at everything. And then I've got to just talk about verse 15. And it says in the scriptures, let another man praise you and not yourself. So I'm going to take about 3 minutes to do that very thing. And it says here that you might become blameless and harmless, which evidently denotes a process, children of God without faults in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And God certainly knows that's where we're walking mm-hmm. today, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Well, okay. Sharon, you've been very active doer. You are a participant. You take on any open door that God gives you. You run through and just hope the backside doesn't get you like a swinging doorway. But as you have come into this new challenge, and we're going to have to find another comforting word for this word challenge. I don't know if I can handle a lot more challenges that we've got going, but with Jesus, yes, we can. You have chosen to not talk to 20 people about 20 different explanations, but you've chosen to be vulnerable with how the Lord is guiding you on Facebook. And I've looked at some of the comments, and they're, Sharon, you're a rock. We don't know how you're keeping the attitude that you're keeping. We don't know how you're keeping your eyes focused on the Lord with the challenges that you're going through day by day. And when I looked at that, the Lord just pointed out, I'm letting her be a light so that maybe she can't be involved with seminars right now. And praise God, you still are a tough cookie and said, we're going to air no matter what. That's one of your first priorities. And besides keeping your food down.
Yeah.
But the light that the Lord is opening up through the, and I'm going to use your word, through the sweetness of affliction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new dimension. It's something that somebody else with, whether it's diabetes or stroke or dementia or cancer or MS or whatever, that they can hear that there is hope in real time with you not knowing what's going to happen next week.
Right.
You know, some people have chronic illnesses and they can pretty well anticipate what's going to happen. They know how they're going to be miserable. But in real time, you don't know what next week will bring. And yet there is a willingness to trust in spite of overwhelming odds. And that's a light. And the Lord says that that's exactly what we're supposed to be. And that principle needs to go to our families, to our workplace, to our church, and especially to a world that is living in a very crooked manner. And then you are holding fast to the word of life. That's verse 16. You're holding there. Now, do you ever maybe have a knot in your stomach or we'll coin the phrase a pain in your port?
Yeah.
That, you know, causes you to have to hang on to something, but you've made a choice. Your will says, I will choose. And that is part of the sanctifying process that Paul is getting across to his people in his affliction. I'm choosing joy. I'm choosing to remain steadfast. I'm choosing to seek other people's interest. And in our private conversation, I know you really are as much or more concerned with how others can benefit from your pain, which again is 2 Corinthians 1. As you have been comforted and will be comforted, you want to pass that on. And what a neat blessing that He's given us the freedom of a mic to be able to pass that on to whomever Jesus Christ wants to have it passed on to.
Yeah. Well, I just want so much for God to be glorified. You know, so many times God is bashed in the midst of people's adversity. You know, why would God do this to me? Why, God, is this happening to me? Is it because I did this or is it because I did that? And like God is trying to punish us for some reason. And I don't believe that God is punishing me in any way through this adversity. And I just want Him to be glorified and not condemned for this process that I'm going through, because the scripture never tells us that we will be removed from any hardship as Christians, that we'll slide through life without any heartaches or struggles. He promised to be there for us in all of it. And if we're not willing to give Him praise and honor in the midst of our adversity, you know, how can we give Him praise and honor in the midst of our blessings?
Yeah. And is our faith really real? So, Sharon, you also caused me to have another point that I had to go back. It's been a late night this week. In verse 19... Well, let me just touch on verse 17. He said He was being poured out and offered as a drink offering. And the only thing I'm going to say about that drink offering is, as it was poured on the sacrifice, the fat sacrifice was already hot and being burnt. And so when you poured that drink offering up, it just evaporated into steam.
Okay.
You couldn't even really see it because it just went up in steam. But that's what Paul said he was willing for his life to be. It didn't have to get all the kudos or recognitions or people patting him on the back. In fact, he found himself to usually be pretty much alone, except for maybe one or two friends that really stuck with him. And when we jump back over to the life of the Lord Jesus, we see that the disciples at the tomb, they really got to questioning if they had followed the right person.
Right.
They didn't understand, but they really got to questioning. And then when they were told He's risen, it's like, really?
Yeah.
They probably were battling some truth. Is this really real, or is this just a figment of your imagination, or how? Or prove it to me, see?
Some confusion going.
And yet they had been with God in the flesh for 3 years. So one point that I'd like to make today is that if there are times when you do question whomever may be listening today, then don't let the enemy come in and put false guilt on you.
Right.
Just say, Lord, I'm a lamb right now. And I need You to bring me to some green pastures and recognize that they really, when they, He said in Psalms 23, He said that He maketh them lie down in green pastures. They wouldn't have laid down if they weren't full from grazing and they were ready to rest.
Okay.
And that was a good point for me, because I always thought, well, okay, they found a pasture and now the sheep are just casually enjoying the grass and everything. But the fact that they laid down showed that they were full of the grass, of the nourishment that they needed, and they were resting in where the shepherd had brought them and the field that He had provided for them. And I thought that was a neat thought,
yeah,
that we need to stay in the scriptures grazing.
Right.
And more than a 5-minute devotional.
Right.
Okay. But then moving on, this word threw me because in the King James that I was working from, the New King James, in verse 19 and 20, it says that he was going to send Timothy to them shortly because he needed to be encouraged about their state. S-T-A-T-E. And that didn't mean where they were living. I mean,
like their condition.
It was their condition, okay, their welfare. And then the sad verse is, for I have, in verse 20, for I have no one like-minded, who will sincerely care for your state. And I realized, what an exhortation to us. that we are caring for one another with the best interest of their condition, being sensitive to know when to speak a word of encouragement, or maybe when just to be there and speak no word, to not be willing to come to an opinion of what we think is wrong with them, or we think what they might need. Advice is really cheap these days. Okay. And most of it could be sold at half price because it's not worth a whole lot. But we go back to where he says in verse 4 of this chapter, but let each of you look out not only for his own interest, to keep himself solid in the Lord, but also for the interest of others. And again, as I thought about the many things that you're going to go through with the way that you do your acts of kindness, and that you are going to truly be caring about others. But Sharon, I'm going to put a loaded question to you. I think you can handle this. Can we really do acts of kindness to be sincere in knowing about another person's state until we have worshiped, I mean worshiped before the living God, and then the acts of kindness are an outflow? Or can we just really have a good heart and a good intent and say, Lord, I'm going for it. Back me up.
Well, well, that is a loaded question because the kindness can come in many shapes and sizes.
Okay.
But for it to be the kindness that that person needs, I believe it truly has to come from the Lord and from the overflow of being with God, because our acts of kindness are usually kind of selfish without the Lord, because
yes,
that's just our nature.
Our nature.
Right.
That's right.
So.
And a one-liner that I think I'd like to really say, if no one gets anything today but this one-liner, and that is that a person's character cannot be changed if their nature cannot be changed. So a lot of times we really get critical about other people's character, and we're judgmental, or we are opinionated, to say the least. But really, if their nature is not in the right standing with Jesus Christ, we should not expect character change.
Right. Absolutely.
And that would help take care of a lot of our judgmentalness.
Right.
And I think we can close off today with Philippians 2, with just saying that the rest of this chapter deals with the example of what kindness and moral influence consists of in Epaphroditus, as he was loyal to Paul in his chains and went through a great sickness near death for others.
Oh.
But this is something that everyone is called to, Sharon, but very few choose to follow. And then we wonder why we have a perverse and crooked generation that we're having to deal with.
Well, I tell you, these scriptures are words of life for us in this day and age that we live in, because we have our world and our churches lining up together, and they shouldn't be. We should be a peculiar people. We should be set apart. We should be different. And not like the world. But more and more I'm seeing that the church is lining up with our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty scary world that we're living in when we have no refuge.
Yes.
With our Christians being of the same mind as the world. So we need to really look at that and start making some right choices,
mm-hmm,
according to scripture. Going through the book of Proverbs with my kids and looking at the warnings and the wisdom that comes from that book. There's so much that our kids are facing today. You know, I say that, but we're really facing it too.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to know how to stand fully equipped in the armor of God with the mind of Christ. Having our shield in place and knowing what those fiery darts look like, because a lot of times they come at us in disguise.
Yes. And the hurried mind will many times make the wrong choice. He says for us to be still,
yeah,
for us to be able to hear him. Well, Sharon, I've learned a lot from just looking at Philippians 2 this last week in behalf of the suffering, and it has certainly strengthened my inner being.
Mine too. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Would you like to close us in prayer, Janie?
Yes. And Father, we thank you for your truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We are a nation and a people that have chosen to be like wayward sheep and go our own way and drink from polluted ponds and be a rebellious, independent people. And Father, we know we've been forgiven by the cross and by the blood of the Lamb. So Father, with the pain, the challenges, the adversities, the unknowns, we constantly lay them at your feet, trusting you that you will be sufficient to carry the load and show us how to be as Paul did, to rejoice even in the prisons that we might find ourselves here on earth. Again, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzlaff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.